So I thought it'd be cool to start a new little series today, and one of my good friends, he's quarterback for the Seahawks, Russell Wilson. He once tweeted back when I first when tweeting and Russell Wilson were originally a thing. I thought it was funny at the time, but it's come back to be the name of this little series, which is up there on the board. Too blessed to be stressed. Such a great little phrase. Too blessed to be stressed. And, you know, I don't know. I just thought it was cool. I thought it was funny. And so what we're going to be doing is looking at the Beatitudes, which is where Jesus is talking about being a blessing. It's where he is saying, you are blessed. It's the Beatitudes. The word is blessed. And so as we approach it, I'll kind of set it up. I think the kids are next door throwing against the wall, so that is. It's helpful for me. The idea of being blessed. So what areas in your life are you blessed right now? You know, think of, like, where are areas where it's a blessing, where it feels good, there's provision, there's pleasure, there's, like, comfort level, and that's generally how we approach being blessed. And then the areas that are not being blessed right now, where you kind of will feel a little bit, where you feel a little bit concerned. So think about that as we start. And the main idea, it's Lincoln. It's either Jason or Lincoln, I don't know. Jason's not in here. When you think about blessed, you think it's where all the good things are happening, right? And when you think about God's glory or your own life glorifying God, you think about where all the good things are happening, where everything is lining up. And so what Jesus does and what we're going to do is look at the reality of where the glory of God truly is, where blessing truly is. And I'll just let you know up front, it's actually not in all those glory, awesome places. The blessing and the glory of God is always found in the cross of Jesus Christ. It's the suffering, the humiliation, the cross. Okay? That's where you're blessed. That's weird. So, let's read Matthew chapter 5, page 677. Using one of these Bibles. And I'll just read all the Beatitudes to kind of set it up. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, Blessed are the poor in spirit. So first of all, blessed if you're poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So does that sounds pretty great. So it's blessed are the poor, those who mourn, the meek, those who are hungry and thirst after righteousness, the merciful, the peacemakers. I don't know. What do you, you know, you don't have to answer, but just kind of in your brain answer, and I can get a feeling if you're really engaging it. Like, this is the place where you're blessed, but when someone says poor, is being poor a blessing? Should we all be poor and sell our stuff? I mean, there's a whole line of people who believe that. Yes, you should all give your money to me. You will become more holy. I don't know why you're laughing. Anyway, no. But before we even get there,
Jesus is saying this. And the place that Jesus is saying this is significant. Jesus goes up on a mountain, and anytime you read a mountain in the Bible, it's almost always the place where God speaks. And so you remember Moses? Remember Moses? The grown-up version of Moses? He goes up a mountain, and he gets the word of God written on tablets. It's the ten words, the Ten Commandments. And really, the Ten Commandments are words that will describe you if you are when you're living with God. So when you're the children of God, you are the people who worship God. When you're with God, you're the people who don't kill. When you're with God, you're the people who know how to balance life and take a Sabbath and recognize who the true God is. You don't cheat on your wife. You don't steal. You know, that's what those are supposed to be. But because we're separated from God, those are laws and they crush us. So they're good, but then because we're sinful, they're kind of harsh and they destroy us. So we do not always love God or love our neighbors. And so now we feel bad, right? Because you fail. And this is the law of God. But the law of God is good. So we need the gospel, right? So we're crushed and we need the gospel. But those are still good things. But then Jesus now goes up on a mountain in the Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mountain. And what's cool about this is he's so much better than Moses. See, Moses goes up to get from God. Jesus goes up and he speaks. See, Jesus is God, right? We believe this, but it's cool when you see it. He goes up and he speaks with authority to his disciples and then the multitudes. And he does it after he's already been healing people. So that's why everyone's following him, is because he's been healing people, the sick, the possessed, the demonically possessed. And he's now got this following, and he sits down and he is going to speak as a person of authority, not hearing from God. So we had to go to Michael's last Sunday after church. And it's the new seating arrangement. Linda was just telling me how, like, this is better because people don't have to watch. He was probably 17 years old or 18 years old, the guy working there. And I asked him about frames or something. And then he didn't have what I needed. But he goes, "Hey, just let you know, like, I can give you a deal on some of these frames, just today only." And I was like, "Oh, thanks. You don't have what I need, but thanks." And then I ended up buying like a frame or something. And then when you're at Michael's, they always have coupons, you know? And so Val gets a coupon from me on my phone, and then she has one on her phone, so we're going to pay at different times because you have to use one coupon at a time. So we act like we don't know each other. It's kind of a fun little break. It's fun. Who's that lady in front of me with the frames? And then you get up there, and then this other Michael's employee is like, "Oh, I have one for 50% off, not 40. I'll do it for you." And it's like this authority. "Oh, thank you. Who are you?" Anyway, I just thought that was fun to tell you guys about. It's fun because there's a certain amount of authority that people have, but you have it because it's been given you, right? So Michael's has given this little guy authority to give 50% off today only. And Jesus is the only one who has no authority. He's not being given authority from anybody. He is the authority. So he is speaking and pronouncing, like in this sermon, he's pronouncing, and the first thing he pronounces is blessing. It's like, "I will bless you." And this blessing is beyond happy. I think we're all allowed to learn and grow. But in the past, I've talked about this. I think I was like, "Oh, blessed means happy." But it's beyond happy. Do a little of the Greek research and everything. It's like saved, redeemed is how this is supposed to be. So saved and redeemed are those who are poor in spirit. This is what Jesus is saying. Like, you are saved if you're poor in spirit. And the reign of God, the reign of heaven, like the reign, like rule, not reign, not like it's reigning men, but like the king reigns and rules. The reign and rule of God, heaven, is breaking into history. And Jesus is saying, the ones who get it are the poor in spirit. So he's pronouncing. And the only
The only time I've ever come close to this kind of pronouncement, a reality, it changes the reality, is like in a wedding. So like Anthony and Walker come in single, the intention to get married, but they are not married until I say, the power vested in me, blah, 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 God, save. Now I pronounce you husband and wife. And those words have some kind of authority, right? Now they're actually married. So then they leave, not single anymore, they leave married. Like that's kind of a, it's one of the few ways in our world that speaking actually changes reality. You know? Like you are really married now. And if you want to get out of it, you gotta go through a bunch of hoops because it's a reality. And people outside of that reality want to be married. You know, everybody wants to be married and have, we want to have rights for everyone to get married because something's different about marriage. There's tax breaks. And there's, but there's a reality to it. And so when Jesus speaks these, it's real. And he says, you get to enjoy the kingdom and the reign of God right now. If you're poor in spirit. So what is poor in spirit? Poor in spirit is it's a status. It's a condition. Let's do that. So poor in spirit is a condition. It's not like trying to be. I'll show you. Here's where there's a couple places. We'll go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 5. But before I read it, Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, talks about the servant of God, the servant of Yahweh, who is coming and what he will be like. And he describes, Isaiah the prophet says, the servant of God will heal the blind. He will bind up the brokenhearted. Like your heart's shattered, bind it up. He'll repair your broken heart. He'll raise the dead. He'll cleanse the lepers. Like this is who, so Isaiah talks about this is who is coming for you. And then when Jesus, his first sermon, his first time in the synagogue that's recorded, he quotes this thing from Isaiah to say who he is. He says, the year of our Lord has appeared, and then Jesus like drops the mic, and everyone's like, "Whoa!" And then this scene that we're about to read is John the Baptist in prison, who's going, like all of us would do, we kind of backed Jesus, and now we're in prison, and we're going, "Is this right? It seems like if we're following Jesus, we shouldn't be in prison. We should be living the blessed life. I should be driving a nice chariot or something, not in prison. So is Jesus like really the guy?" Right? This is how I get you all to trust me. If your life's going awful, then I'm good. Right? If your life's bad, I'm a great leader. Is that how it works? Amen? No. So John has a legitimate request. He's like, is Jesus really the guy? Because it feels like things are falling apart. And here's the response. Matthew 11, 5. Oh, 4, we'll start there. Actually, let's just do the whole thing. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" And Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." So here's the point of this. It keeps coming up. And now Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, his beatitude starts with the poor in spirit. And the thing that we have to grasp is that poor in spirit is a condition. So he says he comes to heal the blind, not those who feel bad about being blind, not those who feel bad about being lepers, or like, "Oh, I really hate being a leper. He's come to help us." If you really feel bad about it. See, like, it's a condition. You're blind, you're deaf, you're a leper. And so, what is this proclaiming to the poor in spirit? And it is our spiritual reality is that we are totally broke. When you're poor, you have no resources. You are at the mercy of whoever is in charge. You have nothing to bring. You have no way to save yourself. You have no way. You are destitute, with totally broke. And the way Jesus sees the spiritual reality for everyone is you are spiritually poor. It's a condition. It's like someone who's blind, they're blind. You're spiritually poor. And he says, the kingdom of God is for any of you who can realize. If you can realize you're spiritually poor and say, yeah, I need that. He says, great. The reign of God has already begun for you. See, this is like the doorway. The first thing that has to happen in all of our spiritual lives is this, to recognize your poverty. See, that's the issue for us, is we just don't recognize it because we live in these two worlds. If you have faith, you live in two worlds. And in the one world that we see, poverty is not cool, it's not glorified, it's not fun. And most of us have had times where it's like you don't have a lot of money, you don't know where the money's coming from. It's not like, oh, I'm so much more holy. Yes, you might rely on God more when you're physically broke. Usually you rely on people you know more, you know, when you're physically broke, but it's not good. But you know it. Spiritually, and you can do something about it, right? Just create a system, figure out a job, figure out, start hustling. How am I going to make money? That's the world we live in, that God set up. It's a good world, but now Christ is broken in and we have a spiritual reality. And in this spiritual reality, it's totally upside down. Like, how are you successful? How do you find blessing? You say, I'm poor. You embrace your poverty. And you're like, God, I need you for everything. It's like, right. If you can come in letting go of all your systems, see, we have systems for handling poverty and things in this world, but with God, it's like we have to let go of all those systems and recognize that they cannot help you. You will be frustrated and you will fail bringing anything to this relationship. But that's so weird. You know? Isn't that hard? Don't you feel like I should bring... I mean, I try to hide that I'm a pastor to, like, normal people, because as soon as they know you're a pastor, they get weird. They just do. They aren't real with you. They stop swearing around you or telling any of the really funny jokes. So you just never want to tell them. And as soon as you do, or as soon as they know, like, I was having a conversation with somebody, and I'm not going spiritual or anything. It was about raising children. And I said, man... Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing. I just pray. Half the time I'm just praying. But for me, I'm saying praying like I admit that I don't know anything. I just pray, dear God, help these kids. And my friend immediately says, oh, I pray. I'm like, well, I wasn't coming at you, man. I didn't say this, but in my mind I'm like, oh, here we go. He knows I'm a pastor. He's trying to show me that he prays. And then he's like, and then the more people do that, the worse it gets. Because I know so much about this, and general people don't know anything. Like when you watch Jeopardy and they have Bible section, people don't even know. Like, I'm a genius in this realm. I'm like an expert. And they're like trying to prove to me that they're good, and the more they're trying to prove that they're good, the more I'm like, you don't know anything. Stop. You're embarrassing yourself. And it's all happening in like 2 seconds. It's like, I pray. And I pray, and then he says, you know, I don't know who I'm praying to, but I pray. And I was like, stop. Please stop. Because the thing that's going to help you here is not saying, oh, I pray and I do this. It's like saying, I don't know anything. I hear that, I'm like, oh, you get it. You get it, because I don't know anything either. And I'm an expert. I give my whole life to study this stuff. I've got like a master's degree and like another one, and I got in this, and I'm telling you, I'm poor. I do not have enough to know how this works. And so I want to tell people, stop. It's okay. The poor in spirit, the reign of God begins for the poor in spirit, and it begins with letting go of all your systems. That's why it's hard for the religious, because they worked hard. Hard to let go and trust that this is all right, because we live in a world where you can't just let go. You know? And what happens in this world when you let go? You lose relationships, right? If I stop working hard, if I stop doing my job, if I don't do certain things, people go away. Well, in the spiritual life, we are scared of the same thing. We're scared that we haven't done the right things and God has left us. I mean, you ever feel that? Like, oh, I know, God, you're probably not listening because I haven't done the things I need to do, and I know you're probably... Do you guys have any inner monologue like that where you kind of feel like a dialogue with a God who's probably not with you because he's so upset with you? Do you have that? Just give me a little... Good. Thank you. Thank you, Danielle. That's for a future... That is the thing that will mess you up. Because the truth is, God says it's for the poor in spirit. Those who recognize, I don't know where you're at, I don't have anything to bring. And the truth is, Jesus came to earth, he's sitting on a mountain, and he's like, I'm announcing these things to you. I'm coming to you. So if you ever have that thought that God's far away from you because you're a wreck, it's all flipped up. Now, that's how it works in this world. You neglect me enough and hurt me, yeah, whatever, it's over. But in this reality, because we live in two realities now, this one, it's flipped. God continues to meet you. He continues to give you the benefit of his rule, which is his presence, his love. And he gives it to those who are poor. He knows you're poor, and those are the ones who get the blessing. You get the salvation. You get the redemption. Can you believe that? See, it's hard to believe that. This is hard. But I'm trying to make it easy. It's hard to believe it, that God would be with me even if I've been bad. But this is the good news. Because the fact that you even want him means you're poor. You're like, God, help me. You know? I want you to know, you're always going to feel poor in your relationship with God. Because that's right. You're always going to be in debt. You're always going to be overspending in this relationship. So rest. Can you find rest in being poor and not having to do anything about it? Just rest. It's good. But here's what the blessing is. Here's what the salvation is. Is that now that the kingdom of heaven is beginning, the rule and reign of Christ is beginning, which means there's forgiveness for sins. There's baptism into Christ's body. We share this inheritance. We get all the benefits of Christ being king because we're poor. We get the fellowship of other redeemed. We get the Holy Spirit to give us faith and obedience. Like, these are the things that happen now for us. So the reality of God is beginning right now for the poor in spirit. And then we still live in the world. Does that make sense, Lowry? I want you to know, because you're my son. You know? I want my kids to know. I want you all to know, but I want my kids to know. Because as a Christian, you're going to put the same standards the world has on yourself and your faith. And it will just crush you. You haven't prayed enough. We all know. We're on day 245 of the Bible reading, and it's me and Matt. And it's really the first time I've ever truly read the whole Bible, because I've read it maybe 10 times for a grade or for a class, but now I'm actually engaging it. So don't feel bad that you couldn't read it. You're poor. Of course you couldn't read the whole Bible. You're broke. But the good news is God says, oh, I love the people who are poor. I will give you all the benefits of my kingdom, even though you don't even know the story. And even though you'll fight with the story and act like, I don't believe this part of it, you don't even know the story. You're so poor. You can't bring it in. And find comfort there. You are poor. Praise God. This is the benefit. This is the blessing. You're saved. After, when this starts to form, so the disciples, they start to be informed. This is the real gift, recognizing you're poor. This is where God begins. This is the doorway in. It's a gift that we know we're poor. It's a gift when we know we can't save ourselves. And we thank God for it. And then the first message that comes to us, like in his disciples, is repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. So repent. Stop. Stop like struggling with life and pulling and just go, whoa, okay. When it comes to this spiritual life, I'm poor. I am the created and he is the creator. I am the receiver and he is the giver. He is God and I am his creation. And we can stop trying to show him how much glory we can give him and how much glory we're trying to prove where God's working in our lives or in people around us. Stop. His glory is in the cross. His glory is in your poverty. And it's magnificent. And he will find, you will glorify God in your poverty. Your spiritual poverty. When you say, God, have mercy. Yes. These are the people Jesus came to. The blind, the deaf, the lame, the poor. He came to them. And what did he do? He heals. He forgives. He restores. So that's our position. So we are too blessed to be stressed. You will totally be stressed this week. This life will stress you out. And that's why the prayer we prayed today, it's not to say, God, we definitely want God to intervene and help us walk through these things. But what Jesus wants you to know, he proclaimed on you, is that you already have an inheritance. You have certain amounts of this blessing in you right now so that we can walk through whatever happens. We'll be able to walk through it with the God of the universe. He's going to be with us. But since he's the God of the universe, let's ask him to fix something. You know, hey, are you going to eat that? Can I have that? That's great. He loves it. Sometimes he says yes. Sometimes he's like, no. Sometimes he says, I'm just going to give that to Adam. But Anthony asked for it. Thanks, Lord. That was a favoritism joke. It was a little too high. Let me pray.
It was an awkward ending.
God, comfort us. Comfort us in our fear of this poverty. You proclaim the poor in spirit are blessed because the reign of heaven is ours now. We ask that you would work this out. We admit that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by things we've done and things we've left undone. There's parts of our lives that we don't even recognize are sinful because we don't know what the good is supposed to look like. We're so corrupt. And you say you have given us your Son to forgive us, to die for us. And it is for his sake that he forgives you your sin. And so in Jesus Christ, we recognize our poverty and we say, God, have mercy. And we hear your word, you on earth, saying your sins are forgiven. Blessed is the poor in spirit. Would you give birth to this, give us the eyes to see the reign of God in our lives now? That we might rest in your work and your bank account. And then bless us. Give us your salvation and your redemption. But we believe it by the faith you've put in our hearts. Thank you, Lord. And restore to us the joy of our salvation. Bless us during this time of kind of contemplating your word. Pray, Holy Spirit, that you would meet us wherever we are, whatever we need to hear. Would you speak your truth gently and kindly to us, restoring or cleansing or washing, however and whatever you want to do, we ask that you would do it because we trust you and we need you. In Jesus' name, amen.